Hi, welcome to Happy, Joyous, and Freaking Out. My name's Nicole, and I'm an alcoholic. But this podcast is not just for alcoholics. It's for anyone who has questions about how to be happy, how to be joyous, and why we freak out. So welcome to the podcast, and thanks. And it's time for my theme song. Guitar song, guitar song. Nicole's gonna have a guitar song. Oh, feels like you're on vacation, doesn't it? Ooh, yeah, I'm good at that. It is the sixth episode of Happy, Joyous, and Freaking Out. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome. We're gonna launch right into it. The shit I want to share this week has to do with actual shit. Gross, Nicole. That's gross. That's gross. But it does. A bird shat on my hair the other day as I was contemplating getting a sidewalk coffee. I was going to have a coffee al fresco, and I was going to read my book on the sixth and seventh step, and it was going to be a lovely, picturesque afternoon. And a bird just unloaded all over my hair, and I'd reached in, and you don't want to know what came out. So that was disgusting. I raced home. Thank God I could actually get to my apartment relatively quickly. And buckets of water through my hair, just ran tons of, oof, yeah. And I thought it was going to be good luck because I was going to the casino that night. And so I was like, okay, that's popular, you know, I think it's an old wives' tale about, it's lucky that when a bird, you know, shits on you. It's not. I lost more money at the casino than I've ever lost at the casino before. And I always tell the story about oh, I love going to the casino because I'm so lucky and it's in my blood because that's how my parents paid for their wedding. You know, so I've got this down. Let's go. Let's do this. I'm not doing that for a very long time because that money's gone. I'm not seeing it again. And my best friend, when I told her the first time I went to the casino, I told her how much I loved it. She said, do remember that addiction runs in your family. So I do have to remember that. All right, moving into the topic of the week. The topic of the week. Lindsay Lohan is my spirit animal. My friend and I watched the entirety of the series, Lindsay, as I like to call it, on the Oprah Winfrey Network. And the night that we watched the series finale, we also watched The Canyons. I don't recommend that to anybody unless you are completely fine with feeling useless the next day, because you will waste so much energy trying to figure out if The Canyons is serious, who decided James Dean, the porn star, could be an actor, what have you. So, Lindsay on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Oprah comes to her and says, do you want to make this work? And she says yes, and for some reason agrees to have cameras follow her and record her first couple of months out of rehab and trying to get her career back together. So I say that Lindsay Lohan is my spirit animal because over the course of this television show, which I understand has been edited for dramatic effect, is not necessarily the truth per se, but I identified with her at so many different moments during the show. You know, first she, at the very beginning of the show, she's trying to find an apartment in New York, and, you know, there's a mix up with the keys, a mix up with the signing, a mix up with the check, whatever it is. And she takes everything so personally, even though it's so far out of her control. And I completely understand why she was doing that. You know, during my drinking and in my early sobriety, everything was about me. So, you know, I was just watching her unravel and going, yeah, I know exactly what she's doing. And I've done that too. I've been there, sister. You know, she definitely mellowed out over the course of the show. It was really interesting because during the season finale, or I'm sorry, the series finale, she finds out that her building that she's living in is getting sold. And, you know, she signed a 2-year lease. She's only been living there for 9 months to a year. And instead of freaking out about it, she goes, huh, that's interesting. I bet they'll make more money because I live here. And that was it. It was like end of discussion. It wasn't this huge, you know, drama, flare up, you know, dramatic moment, whatever. And I just thought it was subtle, but again, interesting and something that I identified with. Because over the course of my sobriety, if there's one thing, I've learned many things, but one thing that I keep returning back to over and over again is it's not about me. None of this is about me. People's passive aggression, people's actions, what have you, this world that is swirling around me, it's not about me. I am not the center of the universe. Thank God. I don't know what the universe would be like if I was the center of it and I was trying to make decisions. You know, so just watching her progression over the course of the show, there are many moments, other moments that I would choose to talk about, which I don't have to. But, you know, toward the end of the series, I found myself genuinely hoping that she succeeds. I genuinely hope that Lindsay Lohan finds true recovery. My other big takeaway from this is looking to sober actors, musicians, and looking for a role model, you know, especially sober young women. There just aren't a lot of them out there, and I'm not sure that Lindsay Lohan is the best role model, the best person to take this on. Not that she's, one, willing, and not that she, two, is necessarily taking on the role of a sober young woman as a role model. But I do have to say that I'm disappointed by the media's portrayal of sober young women and by the lack of sober young women who choose to talk about it and the context in which their words get muddled. I had two other examples that I can think of. Lana Del Rey, who barely talks about her sobriety, and Demi Lovato, who whenever I hear about her talking about her sobriety, it's in the context of, I used to smuggle coke on airplanes, you know, I used to binge, like, and it's wrapped up in her a whole other host of addictions, her eating disorder, which she gets to choose which one she's focusing on and how she talks about it. The unfortunate thing is that whenever any young, sober young woman talks about their sobriety, it is coupled with tragedy. That's disappointing to me. It's the same thing with Lindsay Lohan. You know, this entire show was about her sobriety, and instead of focusing on the gifts of sobriety, they flash back to her time in court, her number of arrests, her failed career, how much her movies failed to make in the box office, her DUIs, her mother's DUIs. I mean, it's a laundry list of shitty things that happen to you when you choose to live in your addiction. So, you know, I just lament that there are not more sober young women out there who are sharing the gifts of their sobriety. I wish that there was, you know, and this is the sticky point, because I was complaining to another sober friend about this, and she said, but it's called Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, yeah, I understand. You don't necessarily have to talk about the program. You don't necessarily have to talk about the rooms. You don't necessarily have to talk about going through the steps with your sponsor. Which, by the way, side note, when that list of people Lindsay Lohan had sex with got leaked to the media, my first thought was, that's inventory. That's her fourth step inventory that she shared with her sponsor. Turns out I was right. According to the TV show, which, you know, maybe maybe that was a lie, whatever. I'm going to say that I was right. Point for Nicole. Nicole, one. Ignorant assholes, zero. Where was I? Lack of young, sober women's voices in the media. It's hard. I remember where I was. So my friend, you know, she's like, it's called Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, you don't necessarily have to share what happens with your sponsor, doing the steps, talking about the big book. You don't have to talk about the meetings you go to. That's all wrapped up in anonymity. That's the anonymous portion of it. But I do think it's okay to be proud that you're sober. And I do think it's okay to talk about your addictions, because the less we talk about it, the more power it gives the addiction, the more power it gives to feeling shame about it. And I don't for a second feel shameful that I'm an alcoholic. I just don't. I am proud of my sobriety. I'm more proud of the people who are supporting me in my sobriety, because I can't imagine what that's like. And I'm, you know, grateful every day that that they support me in this adventure that I'm on. I hear more and more people talk about, you know, they point at sober celebrities and sober celebrities mention that they're sober, but I do think that there is a shadow of shame there, and that's too bad. Maybe it'll be different. I'm not sure. I do think that there is, you know, every celebrity gets to decide how much they are willing to go into detail about that, to talk about that. So it's really up to them. I can't make that decision for them. But what I can do as a member of the public is limit. I do have the right to limit that there aren't as many voices out there that are like mine. That I can do. So I guess that's the end of my rant. You can find this podcast at Happy, Joyous, and Freaking Out on Facebook. You can visit happyjoyousandfreakingout.com. You can find this podcast in the iTunes store. Share it with your friends. Share it with, you know, your sober friends, not sober friends, what have you. Really appreciate the support, people. I'm digging doing this, and I hope that you're digging it as well. All right, much love. Bye.